Well, Father God, I surely do thank you and praise you this morning. I thank you for who you are, what you are. And Father God, I thank you for everybody that came into the house, Lord, this morning for one purpose, and that's to sit in your presence. Sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, I thank you that the angelic hosts are walking to and fro throughout this room, ministering to your people, even as I speak. Holy Spirit, we give you full and total and complete rule and reign in here this morning. Do what God has sent you to do. And Father, we thank you that our flesh is dead and Jesus Christ is alive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, there's so much trouble in the world. And every time I read anything, it's, you know, Christian-wise, it's the Christians are really being bombarded and they're, you know, they're just under a lot of attack. And a lot of people are losing faith or losing hope and they're being distracted. Don't you be one of those. You just keep going on the way God's told you to. Be strong in the Lord. It doesn't matter what's going on around about you. Jesus is still your hope, right? He's still your strong tower. It's not the circumstances. It's not the people around about you, but it's Jesus. And if we keep hold of his hand, everything's going to be just fine. I promise. How do I know that? Because God said so, right? You can take me at my word. It's going to turn out just fine. And God's getting ready to move upon his people like he's never moved upon them before. And we're going to see such wonderful things happen that the dark side isn't even going to bother us because there's going to be so much light going on. Amen. Well, this morning, God's speaking to us about absolute power. God says resurrection power is all around you. Reach out and resurrect that which is dead in all those around about you. You do not need to look for a sign. Reach out and perform the miracles that need to be performed. God is telling us to walk in resurrection power. Resurrect those that are dead. I don't mean go to the graveyard. Right in here in this building are people who are dead, spiritually dead inside. And God wants us with the anointing that we have to reach out and touch them and bring them to life as God brought you to life. God says, time for looking for signs is over. You have power and authority. Now you do what my word tells you to do. Do you hear that? No more classroom instruction, guys. No more sitting on the backside of the desert. God said, I have pulled you forth and you have crossed over the Jordan, and now you are securely resting on the other side with all power and authority. God's talked to the Lighthouse Church here. You know, we know that God's been schooling us for quite a few years now, and it is now resurrection time. It's now time that we go forth and we resurrect that lost and dying world out there. It's time that we tell them about the love of Jesus Christ and set the captives free. Amen. It is time to take back all that the enemy has stolen. What has the enemy stolen from you? Think about that. It's time to take it all back. It is time to sit at the Master's feet each and every day and be refreshed and go forward with the newness of a new day. Every day is a new day dawning in the kingdom of light. Every day is a new day dawning in the kingdom of heaven. So each day you get up from your bed should be a brand new day for you. Whatever happened yesterday was yesterday's junk. This is a brand new day. It's a day for you to step into the resurrection power of Christ and go forth and be the mighty strong towers that God is calling us forth to be. I don't think you all understand how close we are to one of the biggest breakthroughs in the miraculous that there's ever going to happen. I mean, you know, it's right there. It's right there. God said, take your sword and sever the cords that are holding the captives in bondage. Church, take your sword and sever the cords that are holding the captives in bondage. Quit allowing the enemy free rule and reign in any area. Now, he's not talking about you now because you've been through all this. He's talking about your friends, your family, whoever around about you. It's time that we start focusing in on what the enemy is doing to other outside of us. And we quit focusing on ourselves. And let God be God in somebody else's life like he was in your life. You know where you were at, and you know where God brought you, what where brought you to, and you know what happened in between. Now, it's your turn to do the same thing for another soul that Jesus did for you. God said the sun will not set before miracles occur each and every day. So God's saying every day before the sun sets, miracles are going to be going on. My grace is sufficient for all that you come in contact to do. Take the sword, cut the enemy to ribbons, take no mercy on him. He did not show you any mercy. He is not showing those in bondage any mercy. So why do you suppose you need to show him any mercy? Devil, come out in Jesus' name. No, that's not the way it works. Devil, get out and don't come back in. Nobody invited you. You're usurping God's authority and God's vessel, right? I had to do that last night. How many of you might have had to do that last night? Yeah, see, the devil, he just thinks he's going to, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm saying, devil, get out of my bedroom. I'm not going to tolerate that. He'll do anything you allow him to do. And if you won't tolerate it, then he can't do it. Because when you tolerate it, you open the door for him to come right on in and do whatever he's desiring to do to you. It's your vessel, isn't it? It's your vessel. It's not your next door neighbor's vessel. It's yours. And it's your house, right? You don't allow him to come into your vessel, or into your home, into your bedroom and harass you. You tell him where he has to go. All right, so you have a friend that's in bondage. You can quietly sit there and say, devil, in the name of Jesus Christ and Nazareth, you're going to leave that person. You're not going to torment them anymore. In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus is being shed all over them right now. You don't have to get up there and smack the person on the head and yell and scream and shout and carry on. The devil knows whether or not you know what you're doing. Come on. If your wife's acting up, say, devil, get out of her now in the name of Jesus. To yourself, because you say that out loud to her, she'll slap you. Right? But to yourself, say, devil, get out of her right now in the name of Jesus. You're not going to cause this trouble in my house today. Right? He's really acting up, and I keep telling him to be quiet, and he won't be quiet. So I'll say, devil, in the name of Jesus, oh, no, here we go again. But guess what? That devil leaves. So, you do it to your kids, too. Lost my page. The fire is hot and the arrows are ready to strike. Take the fire and defeat the enemy. Go forth as my firebrands, endued with all the power you could ever possibly need to slay the dragons on all sides. Now, we know firebrands in the Word are those who are lost, and you're supposed to pull them out of the fire. So I really researched this a lot because God is calling us firebrands. He's calling, we're different. We're the fire of God going forth and destroying the works of the enemy. So the enemy destroying the works of God. A person who is passionate about a particular cause, typically inciting change and taking radical action, is what a firebrand is, according to the Bible dictionary. A person who is passionate about a particular cause, typically inciting change and taking radical action. We must take radical action. The enemy is running rampant everywhere you look. And we that have power and authority must start taking charge over that enemy and make him leave. He's just not going to tippy-toe out there just because you say, okay, I'm done with you now. No, he's going to fight you, and you're going to have to make him leave. God said, you are not in a time of peace, little ones. This is a time of war and defeat. You are the ones winning this battle, and the enemy is the defeated one on all sides. War and defeat. We're the victorious ones, and the enemy is defeated. He carries with him no authority, so don't give him any. Yeah, God's serious here. Don't give him any more authority. Stomp your feet if you have to, but make him leave you alone. Don't for one moment think he can outdo you in any area of the battle. Don't for one moment think the enemy can outdo you in any area of the battle. Be another David. Slay this giant of the north. Do not allow one of his imps escape your sword. You have to get them all. Not just one. Not just two. But you have to empty out that cavity, right? Where they made their building place. You have to get them all. God said, your swords are anointed to destroy and defeat the enemy at every turn. The enemy does not have that power. He is cowering in his corner, and he has sent out before him his imps. They are using fear as a weapon, and that fear has taken root all across this land. Truth. And confusion is there too. Confusion's in the atmosphere everywhere you go. And that's the enemy causing this confusion. It's the enemy trying to get us distracted from doing the will of the Father. And we need to, at this very moment, make a vow to ourselves and make a covenant with God that the enemy has done all he's going to do to destroy. God's saying, take your stand. And don't back down. Destroy the darkness of fear, little ones. You have power and authority to do so. Just speak the word and it will happen. Are you hearing me? Devil, you're not going to cause me to walk in fear any longer, period. I always say period. So he knows and I mean what I say. Come on. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He hasn't. Fear does not come from God in any way, shape, or form. So why do we walk? We call ourselves children of God and we walk in fear. Why? Because the enemy has you. He can get you walking in fear. God said, as you speak my word over any given situation, it will occur, never to take root ever again. As you speak my word over any given situation, it will occur, never to take root ever again. God said, I tell you, little ones, you are the mighty warriors that I have brought forth from the backside of the desert and brought you across the Jordan and set your feet in the promised land. I'm going to tell you, go back to what we was talking about before. The reason why when you speak, nothing happens because you don't really believe it's going to happen. You say it with your lips, but it doesn't come from your spirit. You have to know that you know that you know that it's going to happen. And then when you speak it, the enemy knows that you know, and he knows he has to depart. So if you're speaking things and they're still in existence, because you still don't have that deep quality of belief that it's going to happen. I don't want to get my evening service message right now. But you understand what I'm saying here. And a lot of you can say yes to this. You're saying, well, you know, God's taking care of it. But you no more believe that, and the moon's going to turn purple. That's just something we say as Christians. Well, God, you're in control. But you don't really believe that because you keep thinking about the thing over and over and over again. And if he's really in control, then you've given that thing to him and you've moved on to the next thing God wants you to do. Or another thing, another little thing is that God's not working fast enough. You want him to do it now, and it's been 5 days since now, and he still hasn't done it. So what's going on there? Your faith is being tested to see how strong you really are, and if you really believe that God's going to do it eventually. If you read your word, you see God doesn't always do everything now. But he's promised us that now he's going to do everything now. But we're going to have to get past this doubt and unbelief that we still have lingering within us. Hebrews 12:29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. And God said, I have equipped you with fire from the heavenly realm, and that fire will purge everything you encounter. If you're on the deliverance team, then when you start doing deliverance, that fire should go deep in that person and burn that junk out of wherever you're doing deliverance on. Come on. You know, if you're doing deliverance, you just can't sit there and yawn and, you know, just say, come out. You just can't do that. But you know what? God said we're going to have so much power and authority and anointing that just when a person looks at you, they have demons in you, they're going to jump out. And I know that to be a fact, because that when we first started ministry, that's how it happened. And you one jumped out, and then somebody else started acting up over there, and then somebody started acting up over there. But they all had to come out. And it wasn't hours and hours of deliverance. And this is where God has taken the deliverance. If you're on the deliverance team, it's where he's taken you to. You won't have to labor so hard getting a person set free. So God said, I have equipped you with fire from the heavenly realm. And that fire will purge everything you encounter. All right, I said, let's take a look at the meaning of the fire of God. The fire of God is the fire of love, as well as the fire of purity. A fire that blesses and quickens, as well as a fire that destroys and consumes. So the Apostle John comes with this, his answer, not contradicting the other one, but deepening it, expanding it, letting us see the foundations of it. God's fire will destroy everything that's not of the heavenly realm. How many times has God told us here that he's filling us with his fire? How many times has when the anointing fallen and I've shouted fire, people just yelled and jumped and demons came out? The fire of God will destroy everything that's unclean in anybody. God said, be the wise ones, little ones. Stay in the spirit at all times and never one time say, I can't do this. You know, if you live in a household of people that are messed up, you say, I just can't do this. Yes, you can. And whenever you say you can't do this, and that you're going against what you're supposed to be believing in the power of God. All right? If you have somebody that's messed up, the enemy in them is going to act up, and you're not going to be able to say, I can't do this. You're going to have the power and authority in you to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Church, we are headed for the greatest thing that God's ever going to make happen here in this earth. And I'm getting in my evening message again. We've got to stand tall and stand firm and understand the devil has lost his hold. He cannot control us or manipulate us any longer. That we have power and authority over our own vessels to make the enemy leave. Everybody, you know, I have to tell the devil tries to get in me. I have to tell the devil to leave. And when I tell him to leave, he knows I mean business, so he leaves. Why don't you try that? And if you have somebody in your household that has a devil in them, just tell the devil you're not using his vessel any longer. Or their vessel or her vessel, whosoever vessel, you're not going to do it. And quit fighting the person and pray in against the enemy that's inside trying to cause the confusion around about you. God says, be the wise ones, little ones. Stay in the spirit at all times. Never one time say, I can't do this. What are we supposed to do? Stay in the spirit. Are you walking in the spirit? Stay there. Don't get it. Because once you get out of the spirit, then the enemy has a stronghold against you. Walk in the spirit at all times. Didn't God tell us that now spirit was calling unto spirit? Religion had no place in this era that we're in, and we have to be in the spirit at all times. If you're in the spirit at all times, you're going to know things before they ever happen. 2 days ago, somebody's name had come across my mind. I thought, I wonder how they're doing. Well, I found out this morning, opened up my email. They said, I need a word. But see, 2 days before they wrote, God laid them upon my heart. And so I did say a prayer when he did that, but they need a word. God wants that to happen to you all the time. He wants you to be this type of people that you walk in the Spirit just like Jesus did. And you know what's going to happen before it ever happens. Or you're going to know that somebody's in trouble before you ever hear about it. Because God's already showed it to you and you've already prayed against it and covered them so that the enemy can't do what he wants to do in that person. Remember, you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. And that's in Philippians 4:13. But see, we don't believe them. That's a very good scripture to quote, but you don't believe it. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. You're taking another puff on a cigarette. Or you're overeating. Or you're cussing. Whatever it is, you know. See, you don't really believe what you're saying. If you really believe what you're saying, you wouldn't be doing your bad habits. Right? God said, children, nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, is impossible for you to accomplish. I can do all things. And then God said, children, nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, is impossible for you to accomplish. Climb the highest mountain, scale the tallest wall, run through a troop and destroy on every side. Come forth every time victorious. You are mighty to behold. The enemy sees who you are and he trembles. Then God said, if only you could see yourselves as I see you and how the enemy sees you, you would never again shirk back in unbelief. See that? If only you could see yourself as God sees you and as the enemy. The enemy's scared to death of you. I'm going to tell a little story here. One time we had, when we first started in my home, this man came with his girlfriend and he was messed up. I liked him, but he was messed up. And, he was really, I found out later, he was running from the law. He was wanted. But anyhow, his girlfriend says, would you please come and visit us? She whispered to me as they left, and I said, sure. So that Monday night, I took little Tracy in by the hand, and we went up there to Smyrna. Went up to the door, because this is a real tall guy, you know. I said, you knock on the door. I didn't want to knock on the door. I was afraid. I'm being honest. I was afraid. And so here he was standing on the other side of the door, looking through a peephole at us, and he was afraid to open the door. That devil and him was scared of us, and we were scared of the devil and him. That's what it amounted to. So finally, you know, he did open the door, and we went in, and we did a little bit of a deliverance, and he then shared with us. He said, I was scared to death to open that door because I didn't want to come in contact with your God. I didn't tell him I was afraid of his devil, though. Anyhow. See, the devil knew who I was, and he trembled. Now, does the devil tremble because he knows who you are? Or does he stand back and say, well, here comes old Aaron, who cares? You know, no. You know, think about this. Does the devil tremble when he even hears your name? Has God told you your name is known in hell? That means the devil knows that you're out to get him. And he's scared to death of you. And he's going to try to destroy you before you can destroy him. How strong are you really? Think about that. How strong are you really? And is the devil afraid of you? Very serious. You really need to understand this. When I was on the deliverance team, the devil would say, I know who you are. And I said, I know you do, devil. Because I knew he did, and I knew him too. Because we had had three face-to-face confrontations, me and the devil. So we knew each other. He was afraid of me. But I learned not to be afraid of him after that one guy. I learned not to be afraid of the devil. So don't be afraid of the devil. He's scared to death of you. If you're walking in God's will and doing the things God's calling you for to do. And if you're fighting him back, and if you're winning souls, believe me, your name is written in hell. Because he said, we got to get that person because they're taking souls that we need down here. God is saying to ask you, are you a soul winner? Are you a soul winner? If you're not afraid of the devil, then you can be a soul winner. But if you're afraid of the devil, that and you know that he does know you, and he's not afraid of you, then you can't win souls. What's the word say? The blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch, right? You have to be walking 100% with God. You have to know that you know that you know that you belong to God, and you have to know that he is your source, and you know you have to know that you have more power and authority over the devil, that you have all power and authority over the devil, and he has none over you. See, all this comes into play with everything you do with God. We've been sitting in churches and been told things that's not true. They just, anybody can go out there and cast out devils. Anybody can go out there and heal the sick. That's not true. None of that's true. You have to have power and authority from God, from on high, to do the things that the Word tells us that we have to, that we're supposed to be doing. All right, Psalms 18:29 says, "For by you," this is David, "for by you I can run through a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall." Not pure God told us to run through a troop and leap over a wall. God empowers David to run through a troop and leap over a wall. David's life was a meeting with battles. He was always in warfare, and he won every one. And many times David escapes his enemies leaping over walls. Remember, Paul was, they put him in a basket and lowered him over a wall to escape his enemies. But he escaped. Doesn't matter how you do it, just get away from it, right? God has already empowered his remnant with all power and authority. Are you a part of the remnant? Yes, we are. God said, "I always bring my chosen ones to the forefront, ready and dressed for battle. I never allow my children to go undressed." So why did he keep us on the backside of the desert for so long? He had to get a lot of junk out of us, right? Because if he let put us in battle with all the junk in us, we'd have been defeated. But he got all the junk out of us, and now we are fully dressed, and we can go forth and defeat the enemy. God said, "I dress them in the fullness of the Godhead mightily. I give them angelic backup, and I give my Holy Spirit instruction to stay with them, lead, guide, and direct them in the ways they should go." My Holy Spirit will continually tell you what to do and how to do it. Listen intently to the still, small voice that speaks a word of wisdom in your ears. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit. You have to do what he tells you, and only what he tells you to do. You cannot go out there and do your thing. This couple flew in from Texas when I found out they was flying, and I prayed. And God says, "My will. My will." You know, we have to know it's God's will before we do anything. Right? Always, God said, "Always remember the river is too deep to walk in. Therefore, you are continually swimming in the anointing that destroys every yoke. It is the anointing that will never wane." Now let's read that scripture in Ezekiel 47:1. This is Ezekiel talking about, "An angel brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles." Remember one time we were in water deep, ankle deep water. "Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees." Then we were in the water to our knees. "Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water and came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed." Now let's stop there. Remember a couple years ago when God said the water is running deep and wide in here, and I can actually see it splashing up the walls? And God said, "Get into the river now, because if you don't get into the river now, when it really starts flowing, you won't be able to. You'll be standing on the riverbank wishing you would have gotten into the river." Now look what these waters are going to do, and these waters are you and I. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go, where the rivers now, will live. Every place we go, whatever's dead, it should come alive. There will be a very great multitude of fish, these are people, because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. We are the river, we are the waters now. We are going out to fish for men, the harvest. And when we go out, everything that's not right will be healed. Do you understand the power and authority that God has now endued you with? And when you go forth, you can do a great and a mighty works for God. We are the water. We are going to bring everything to life. Never let the enemy tell you any differently. God said, children, you are the rivers of living waters, and wherever you go, you will bring life and life abundantly. Children, continue to rejoice and bring in the harvest of souls. Continue to do what? Rejoice. Right now, that's why we're doing rejoicing songs. God wants us to rejoice right now because he doesn't want us to become battle weary. The battle's going to get rough. And as we will be filled up with the joy of the Lord, and the enemy will not be able to destroy us. Because I don't care what he does, he cannot take the joy of the Lord out of a true child of God. He just can't. He can do it. He can try every which way he knows, but he can't take your joy. I read an article just the other day where this person said they didn't know what was going on in their life, and they realized they had allowed the enemy to take their joy. And once their joy was gone, then they were defeated. So get in your little pea brain right now. That devil's not going to take your joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Without that joy, the enemy has you. Because you're weak and feeble and unable to do anything to the enemy's camp. But in me, you have all things and you know all things and you can do all things. You don't understand, I am ministering to you always. You minister to me every now and then, but I minister to you always. I am always with you. I never leave you nor forsake you. You are my crowns. You are my jewels. You are my precious ones. And I so desire to sup with you all the time. Come away with me, my beloved ones, this morning. Come away into the unknown region of heaven and let me speak great mysteries into your ears. Take my hand and trust me. Just trust me. I will never lead you in a way that you will perish. Wherever I lead you, you will prosper in all things. If you are perishing, it's because I didn't lead you there. You led yourself there. So take my hand today. Give me full permission to lead you. And then let us go on to a new journey, new riches in heaven, and accomplish what needs to be accomplished in this hour. Indeed, I say unto you, you are mine. I've called you. I know you by name. You are mine. I am just a whisper away. Start whispering. Speak my name in the wee hours of the night. As you lay in your bed and you cry, just whisper my name and see if I won't come and bring you peace and bring you comfort. I am that I am. I am that I am. And there is none other like me in all the earth. I am your king. You are my children. And I bless all of my children. Be still and know that I'm God right now. Be still and know that I am passing by you right now. I am changing and rearranging some things deep within you that you've been crying out for me to take away from you. I'm passing by. I am ready to cleanse the deepest recesses of your soul, to bring you to that place in my kingdom that the enemy cannot ever touch ever again. Come on over. Come on over here to me and sup with me right now. Shoulder to shoulder, arm to arm, heart to heart. We become one right now. Right now, the altar call is God is dropping an anointing. There's a few of you in here that don't know the deepness of God, and God is going to drop an anointing on you that is going to open up your spirit, man, mind, and you will begin to know the deepness of God. And the altar's open for that right now.